Hello.
Ryan, how are you, mate?
I'm good. I didn't know you
I
were
can hear you
familiar.
loud and clear.
Good, I hear you fine. I didn't know you were familiar with my work at all.
Yeah, I'm always on What Really Happened, Mike Rivero,
Oh,
so he links
cool.
to you all the time.
Yeah, I subbed his show a few times, a couple years in a row. So, yeah. Well, how about that then? Well, I want to talk about several different issues, but and you probably get sick of telling this story, but I want everyone to know what happened to you, why you why you were chased down by the Zionists who wanted to throw you in prison for hurting somebody's feelings. It sounds incredible, but this is, I had a long 2-hour interview with Gary Rudolph. He was put in prison for not
Yeah.
finding the scientific results that he was
Crazy.
instructed to find. And he's like, well, this is what I found. So if you don't
Didn't
mind,
his lawyer also get a year for defending him too vigorously?
yes, he did. So, I mean, for having the incorrect historical opinion or incorrect scientific findings, you can go to prison. But I think your story is equally outrageous because, I mean, nothing happened. There was no real victim. Nobody got hurt. Just, I mean, you called somebody who is a racist. So what?
Oh, well, I hurt the apple of his eye. Remember, he's chosen, my friend. He's chosen. You
Yeah,
can't do it to your pastor.
self-proclaimed. It is
I mean, for a
amazing.
guy who who's best friends with Chabad Lubavitch and a big fan, but also a Marxist and have a, nothing makes sense with him. Nothing.
Well, it's amazing that people can support a racial apartheid with open home demolitions and slaughtering children, running over people with bulldozers, shooting people with rubber-coated metal bullets, blocking ambulances at checkpoints, all of that. None of that's considered racism. They have migrant camps for Africans that are detention centers, really, and laws, racial laws, racially segregated roads, high schools, and well, the entire settlements. And you're not allowed to say it's racist, or you can go to prison. So, I mean, that's real. That's happening in the current year. What happened to you exactly? Who was it you criticized, and how did they add up all these counts against you?
Where to begin? Look, it started off as first, I think it's better to understand the West Australian Police and the Department of Public Prosecutions. We live in a literal police state. I want you to imagine like California times 10. We live in a place with a very powerful Catholic Church. It's very powerful, infiltrated by Freemasonry and Polish Jews. Freemasonry is so blatantly powerful there, they stick a big pyramid on front of the Perth District Court just to let everyone know who's running things. You have to understand the ins and outs of Perth, which I do. The police deal drugs on an industrial scale. It's a little personal fiefdom of 2.5 million people with one of the richest resource-filled states in the world. And you've got a very cliquey establishment. And it's basically run by Jews from Lithuania, Poland. And an example is the media magnate there. His name is Kerry Stokes. He's a high-level Freemason. He's a genuinely nice guy. But I mean, that man bought the Rothschild Bible for $15 million just after I got out of jail, and made a big hoo-ha about it. He was just letting people know who where his allegiances lie.
Well,
He's a friend of Henry Kissinger.
Rothschild is on the Israeli money, and Rothschild Street is like Main Street in every Israeli city.
Look, Perth is regarded, I used to know quite a few people in the Jewish community. Perth is known, Western Australia is known as New Zion. They've got their eyes on it. They've got the gold resources here, diamonds, you name it. This is their prize. Western Australia will be on the map. It's a prize. So when you understand that, the Jewish community didn't factor into it in the end. It was the WA police who embarrassed themselves, threatened me. The Department of Public Prosecutions are regarded as incompetent fools. When you understand WA and the police state we live in, and I have many, many, many connections throughout all sorts of places, it was all-out warfare with the WA police more than the State of Israel, which in the end did send their ambassador to Australia, which was a first, and they directly came out against me. That's unheard of. That's never happened anywhere in the world.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I was half terrified.
TV getting accused of being, this is what they did to me. Nothing like what they did to you. But
you got on the TV on Israel.
Yeah. The way I found out about it, like no one notified me or anything. But what they did was, they took. I did this thing on YouTube where I had people around the world say "End Aid to Israel" or "Stop Aid to Israel." I thought I had a sticker behind me. I didn't, but so it was just a compilation, one after the other, of people saying that. They sliced that out, and they did this two long pieces on like some actual neo-Nazi types. Had the first guy, then put me in there, and then put the second guy. And I had not said any of that stuff. You know?
Yeah, that's a classic
one. But technically, they never called me a neo-Nazi. They just,
No, they did the same to me. They did the same to me. They never called me that.
Between them, here's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, all aid to Israel.
I like being foreign aid everywhere, but your accuser, your little Satan,
Stanley Elliott Keyser.
Yeah, Keyser.
Geezer.
How is that illegal? First of all, like, was this a new law? I know I'm playing stupid, so people know. So I'm just telling you. Like,
Well, it's not. It was around since 2004. I've probably become an expert on the legislation now. It's part of the Western Australian Criminal Code. They brought it in 2004 to combat the rise of the Australian Nationalist Movement and a man called Jack Van Tongeren, who burnt down 12 Chinese restaurants in the late 80s. He did 12 years jail. And that's who they ostensibly brought the legislation in for. There's a lot of money, obviously, trade between Asia. There's a lot of foreign students. So they wanted to – I mean, he was an idiot. I often thought he was a plant by the police. But anyway – everyone was largely against the legislation, but they put it through anyway. The Attorney General, Peter Foss, at the time said, ironically, that the man who had the Jewish Maccabean paper, which is a Zionist publication in Perth, Mr. Yuron Dror, he said, ironically, if we put this legislation in, he'll be the first to be prosecuted. And that's in the Hansard debate of the legislation. But anyway, they did put it through, and they were itching to try it. And, of course, I came along. The incident occurred. The police then backed off, and after threatening me, saying when this court case is over, it won't be over, and I got my back up and said, well, let's talk about the Israeli high technology industry, the Collins-class submarine, Leon Wend. I said, bring it on, let's go. I'll go to open court, get on the record. And they panicked. And then all the stuff happened. And, you know, this went on for 18 months before the trial. Incredible harassment, like something Kay Griggs talked about.
Was this in 2009?
Yeah, May 2nd, 2009 was the initial confrontation. I put the video up on May 8th, and then the police turned up on May 12th. Seven of them with tasers drawn.
For a video.
I think they'd been told I was mentally ill. They'd just got this mental illness thing that never stops. I must have had 55 psychiatric assessments. And each time the psychiatrist goes, I don't even know why you're here. Well, I said, well, stop it. But it just goes on and on and on.
I think it's projection, because I think it's the mentally ill that say things like that, because little children are being starved and beaten and shot, and a normal, sane person would oppose that. It takes someone who's mentally ill or has severe, you know, dogmatic attachment to their belief that God gave them real estate exclusively and you're allowed to just kill and murder and do whatever you want. Like, under any other context other than religion, that would be considered completely insane. And under any real religious belief, it's still insane. That's just, well, look, not, they, not they any expend, religion. There are some right, religions that expend, are intrinsically racist.
They expend an awful lot of time and energy keeping this going. So why wouldn't they be able to get away with it? And they spend billions just keeping themselves out of the press. I mean, it's a psychological warfare. Look, I was the same. Until probably 2003, I didn't get it. I just couldn't believe anyone could be that cunning, that willing to wait that long to get what they want. And I think that's what's hard for people to, you know.
Well, we have to get into current issues. Netanyahu is going to visit Australia.
I wish I was there.
I might be.
Oh, lucky you. I can't go there. I'll be arrested.
I'm hoping to get in and out. I live in a first world country with free speech. I'm talking about Japan, not America.
Konnichiwa yokozo to shimasu.
Yoroshiku. Well, I don't know if it's going to – they haven't announced his landing date, but I'm just kind of guessing at it that he'll hit that first. I'm going to be there in December to talk to some universities. I'm already having trouble there. I had some socialist, social justice warriors try to block me from one university.
Are you going to Sydney, New South Wales?
I'm going to Sydney, yes.
Great city, beautiful, the harbour. Yeah, look, you know what? I'll tell you what your trouble is, Ryan, is they're scared of you in the same way they were scared of me. Young, good-looking guy, culturally aware, you're not a neo-Nazi, so they panic, see? You're a good marketing tool. What they want you is a swastika on your forehead, goose-stepping, saying you want to kill the Jews. Then, you know, then you're left alone, but you...
No, then they pay me.
Oh, they pay you?
They'd probably
pay me. Yeah, they'd definitely pay you.
Probably the ADL would be like, here's some money. I mean, it's like neo-Nazis and Hamas types are the enemies they want because they have the same philosophy as the Zionists, except you're allowed to criticize that racism.
But I don't mind Hamas. I can understand why Hamas is angry, though. I mean, if you're going to blow up me, I mean, jeez, I'd be out there baying for blood. But I don't know what the average kid from Chicago is doing. Are they bored or something? They've got better things to do? Play dress-ups?
It's identity politics. So, well, anyway, I'll be going down there in December, my first time to Australia, so hopefully we can get the activism going there some more. And whenever Netanyahu lands, he will meet protest at the airport, that's for sure.
Yeah, look, he'll be there for trade relations, plus they want to put a Technion and big high technology cooperation thing in. Look, the police tried to de-escalate things. We both did. And, I mean, I had the inspector of counterterrorism, Barry Shelton, at the time, email me, "With all respect to your work, I want to sit down and talk with you," because I had a war going with his underlings, Detective Payne. And unfortunately, he didn't use much discretion because then, what was it, 2 months later, the Israeli ambassador turned up and the Israeli deputy foreign minister. So that was why.
And you really scared them.
Man, it was amazing. And I'll tell you why. We were trying to work it out. You know, people criticize my behavior, but I'm telling you, man, the pressure they put me under, the harassment on my family, my friends, my friend in the United States, she was an RN, a registered nurse, unbelievable. I was going insane. I'd never experienced it. I think Dr. David Duke said it's like a tidal wave when it hits you, when they come after you. And it felt like that. Just to clarify, I'm not a white nationalist, but, you know, Dr. David Duke does do.
Yeah,
some good.
I don't. He chickened out to come on my show because I was going to take him to task on some of the stuff he's retarded about. But he's anti-war. He has some good points, and you know, just because somebody who with a you know a bad past says something, it doesn't mean that it's automatically wrong. If David Duke said the sky is blue, it's still going to be blue. And sometimes he's right, and sometimes he's crazy. But you know,
does a good video. But yeah, look.
He's matured in his age, you know, but you just can't say that because, like, what? He was in the KKK. I'm like, so was Robert Byrd. He was a senator. Like, so was President Truman. Well, Truman did suck, though. But
well, I was a communist in my 20s, so we all grow up, I guess, eventually.
Yeah, exactly. I know people like that who are held all kinds of silly beliefs in their 20s and now are a complete. I mean, Thomas Sowell, one of the largest libertarians out there are conservatives now, but he used to be a Marxist, and he's one of the biggest, you know, proponents of free market capitalism alive today. He's in his 80s now, but the guy used to be a Marxist. So Thomas Sowell went from one end to the other in his lifespan, and no one comes after him for being a commie or anything. But.
Oh, no, that's still popular.
Well, in America, you can go, it's called being a Democrat now.
Wow.
No, they're
only killed 70 million people. It's all right.
Yeah, it's no big deal. It's still 70 million. But at least it wasn't because of racism.
Yeah. Well, they were the first to put that sort of legislation up. They were the very first, 1919, Lenin. The first bit of legislation was a prohibition against inciting against ethnic and religious minorities, which was aimed to protect Jews. So they were the first.
Well, it wasn't aimed to protect Jews. It was aimed to protect Jewish nepotism. So their own amount of racism can continue. So, but I think Netanyahu's visit is, like you said, Israel is trying to build partners in this sort of high-tech partners ring that they're building. And Australia is going to be part of that. And we all know, and Snowden revealed, that the NSA shares everything they get with the Israelis. And before that, of course, we knew that Converse and InfoSeek and other Israeli high-tech programs had been spying on communications all the way on up to the White House.
I'd actually disagree with you. They don't get it shared. They've already got it.
Well, yeah.
Their people are all through it. Their equipment's all through it. Their people are all through it. They've already got it. They don't have to get it shared. They just take it.
True, true. Yeah, they've got it. They usually have it first. Anything the NSA can get independently has to go into Israeli hands. That's a foreign state. And they've routinely been caught spying on the United States. They're using Australian passports to go around assassinating people. Very little media attention on that in the U.S. I don't know what happened in Australia for that case.
Oh, no, that was big news. And give the Australian Federal Police some credit. They are the only country that sent a delegation over to Israel to give them a bollocking. Look, I can tell you, I know Australian Federal Police, retired. They hate Israel. So does ASIO, our CIA. Everybody hates them. But it's the politicians. It's the politicians. They've got the politicians by the testicles, by the balls.
Well, they pay them.
Well, they're paying them, they're bribing, they're blackmailing. Half of them are bloody sexual deviant weirdos. They throw a few short skirts on women and they, you know, throw a shard of methamphetamine in their scotch and, you know.
You got your own whiskey trap.
Too easy. I mean, the old honey trap is just so easy.
We're dealing with that in the U.S. now. People are talking about the Kushners. I'm like, yeah, he had a honey trap on his sister. But before that, he had a honey trap on Governor McGreevy, who was sleeping with an Israeli national. The guy wasn't even gay. He literally was taking one for the team. But that's how they get it. That's a true saying him right there.
Man, that's dedication.
That's dedication to your Absolute country dedication. When you can do that stuff with a married guy. But yeah. Nothing happened to him. And he had a job in the nuclear industry too, six figures that the governor set him up with. So probably spying on that intel as well. I figure they already had everything they could steal, but.
No, they're full-time stealing, full-time, full-time. That's what they do all day, every day.
So tell me about Iran. Was it Press TV that flew you out?
No, I went there by myself. Originally, I wasn't going to go. I was offered political asylum via Press TV to Mark Glenn in 2012 when I went on my hunger strike. And they said with open arms they would welcome it. Then, cut a long story short, I thought it was just really bad timing. I had to leave. They were extending out these three ridiculous charges they had me on recently. I was couldn't work, couldn't go to university, and then they said, well, we want a psychiatric review. This was 2 years on. It was just ridiculous, and I thought, I have to go now. So I had to borrow $2,500.
And this was for writing things in a blog and making a
video? These were different things. After I got out of jail, I was harassed horrendously. I had run-ins with organized crime figures. Massive corruption was exposed between prison officers, police, and major organized crime. Troy McCanty, Steve Wallace, the Fink Spikey gang, notorious. I had a run-in with Steve Wallace, the big man of the prison. I embarrassed him, called him everything under the sun, and threatened to stab him in the eye with a butter knife. He was the one that set his little five minions onto me and broke my arm and knocked me out, hit me from behind. It was all covered up.
September 11th, wasn't it?
Yeah, what a date.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming. It was like a rock thrower, you know, broke the old arm. That was set up by prison staff and him, and it came out later that they were all in bed together dealing drugs. So I literally had some of the most notorious organized criminals.
People have to know that when prisoners are in complete control, they're in cages, how the hell can drugs get in prison unless the police are in on it? I mean, it's not all balloons in the ass.
30% is balloons in the bum. The rest is prison officers. They make a look. I'll give you an example. Acacia Prison is a privately run prison by Serco. Its head of intel and security is Mr. Bill Bosch, who's a former South African intelligence. Within 6 weeks, I knew where the Apple iPhone was. I knew where four other mobile phones were, and I knew that Hannah, the guard, was bringing the drugs to Trico. This is all known, by the way. Now this is all known now. In the self care unit. I liked him anyway, but he was all right. But he was working for you know, the prison, giving information, and the drugs were coming through the prison officers. That was Acacia. And everyone knew. Even prison officers and other prisons knew. Now, how does that go on for months and months and months and months and months? Meanwhile, prisoners are hammered for the slightest infractions. The slightest infractions.
Well, they enjoy it. It's a power abuse thing. That's why a lot of people become prison guards.
Look, you do meet some good ones. I met some good coppers. You meet good prison officers, and they make a world of difference. You know, and they often don't get any feedback because particularly prisoners don't want to be seen to be saying nice things about prison officers, but they make a big difference to someone's attitude when you get a good prison officer.
Or if you just get a normal prison officer even.
Yeah, look, one who doesn't have to like you if he just does his job, but a lot of them are just, they love tormenting prisoners. They just love it. And I mean, some of the stuff in a first world country like Australia, I mean, if you get to minimum, it's like a holiday camp, it's a joke. But in maximum, you know, some people there were heartbreaking stories, horrible things happened. The prison officers just torment them. And the things I saw disgusted me. And I'm not easily disgusted. But I terrorized them for three. I absolutely terrorized the system for 3 years. They will never forget me, and I won't forget them. You know, the trouble is I came out with 10 new enemies. So if people ask me about Israel and Jews, they don't bother me, to be honest. It's the 10 other enemies I made along the way. Take a ticket. But like I said, to understand what happened to me, you have to understand Western Australia. And it's incredibly corrupt and run by, it's a police state by definition. It is a police state. They run everyone. They've got all the dirt on the politicians.
Perth is everyone's fiefdom, yeah.
Yeah, but it's beautiful. It's a beautiful city. If you come, it's clean, tidy, it's new, building going on everywhere, but it's run like a personal fiefdom.
Hmm. So Iran offered you asylum then in under 2 weeks?
Yeah, what a trip. It was done on a whim. Because I thought it's not like I didn't want it to go. I wanted to go, but I thought this is bad timing. You've got the American elections. They'll be a little bit paranoid at this time. I was short of money. I was worried about they had very good relations with Australia at that stage. They buy a lot of meat. They buy a lot of wheat and other things. They had new visa things. Australia is one of seven countries. You don't need a visa. You can pick it up at the airport. So I thought, are they going to accept? I mean, so I sat there in a little cheap hotel, one of the few, nice staff. I mean, it was worth going to experience the atmosphere. The people are so friendly. I met the foreign minister, one of the foreign ministry officials on November 2nd or number 3rd, 2nd or 3rd. He spoke good English. We had a chat. He knew who Dr. Steve Pachenik was. He said, who do you think's going to win? I said, oh, probably Trump in a landslide. And he said, yeah, probably. He laughed and he says, it was clear I don't think he liked Hillary, even though you'd think Hillary would be better for them.
I don't.
And neither do I. But a lot of Muslims do believe that Hillary's nice. They don't understand. But anyway,
they're watching a lot of AJ Plus because Saudi Arabia and Qatar basically sponsored her candidacy. Yeah. But yeah, I was on Press TV a few days ago and I had some identitarian. For like 10 minutes, I had to listen to them bashing Trump before I got to come on, and they know me as a human rights activist, so I guess they thought I was going to call them a sexist, racist, xenophobic bigot, you know, blah, 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 blah. And instead, I got on and told them how Hillary had supported seven different wars and all these bailouts, and I just threw her under the bus completely, so that's how that is. But how was Iran? They're not all wearing hijab and sabers like it is on TV.
Oh, no. They all covered and very modest. No head cuttings. This wasn't Saudi Arabia. They're just very highly educated, very friendly. It is run down parts of the city. The wealthier areas are very nice. The traffic, man, the traffic. I will never forget the traffic. There are no road rules, but somehow it works. There's no one uses the lanes. I can't believe there's not road rage. I mean, they are very placid people, surprisingly, highly educated, not a lot of English speakers, surprised me. Reasonably cheap, at least half the price of Australia in the US, at least.
Really?
They have modern shopping centres. It's very difficult to get money in. Money's a big problem. You can't get money in. There's no Western Union. There's no Visa cards. There's no international transfers. It's completely blocked with the sanctions. But they make do. I mean, God help the Middle East once the sanctions come off, which will happen eventually, because they're going to boom because their people are their prize. They've got a high technology industry, which is indigenous, based in their war production. And once the sanctions come off, I mean, there's going to be no stopping Iran. No way. I mean, Kissinger came out and said, we have to, Iran is our biggest concern. And it's true because
They're not concerned with them building a nuclear bomb like they claim. They're just concerned that they can threaten their economic hegemony in the West.
Absolutely. They're an example. Same as Hitler. Persecution of European Jewry was not anyone's problem. They didn't care. What they cared about was his nationalistic independent development. And that's exactly what Iran is. They are independently developing, and they just can't bear it.
Yeah, they didn't give a damn about the Jews. They didn't care about the Polish or anything. They just, it was economics, exactly. It's like in the invasion of Iraq when they started saying, oh, we're going in to liberate the Kurds. They didn't give a damn about the Kurds. They just didn't want Iraq, with firing Scuds into Israel and challenging the Western beast economically. The PNAC wrote it out. We don't want any economic or military rivals. But if they'd seen anything from World War II, building Germany and Japan up and having trading partners in the long run is good for everybody. It's better to have peace and trade. It is better to let them develop.
Yeah, but it's also the Straits of Hormuz. It's Egypt and the Suez Canal. They're worried about any nationalistic stuff going on. Britain, the United States want to keep the canal under their control. But look, I think people forget too, it's not just economics. There's something even more powerful, and that is religious. They want to rebuild the Second Temple, and they want Greater Israel, and that's the thing that people may forget. It's more than economics and power and control. It's Greater Israel and the fulfillment of prophecy. And when you understand that,
and it's hard for people who haven't run into those types to imagine that there could be so many people who really believe something that's stupid, but it's very pervasive in a lot of societies. And they're, and the ones who aren't doing that just go along with it anyway because they're doing military profiteering. So there's a lot of overlap there between different interests that are just going to aim at the same thing. They always back religious fanatics, whether Zionist Jews or Wahhabi Islamists, whatever, because in game theory you can see that putting support behind crazy people is going to get you the results you want, which is violence.
Man, that's exactly right. Look, the fanatics, one thing people should look up to and may well be my next post is the Yeshiva military academies where they recruit their most fanatical people from. And these Jews are coming from all over the world. You know, his name's Bill Smith and he talks with an Aussie accent. Mate, how you going? You're not going to know who he is. And he's at a Yeshiva military academy learning the most horrendous Babylonian Talmud, Mishnah, Oral Law, Shulchan Aruch stuff. That he's going to dominate the world, and he's a fanatic, and, you know, he's their fighter pilot, special forces, assassination squads, and, you know, these people need to be tracked and traced, and these are major national security risks, and the kibbutzim system as well, whether you're a cultural Marxist fanatic or a whatever, fanatics are useful.
Redheads. Oh. Chechen terrorists and all the like, they all get backed up, you know. And even these moderate rebel groups in Syria, it's the same thing. I mean, they're getting money. Trump has already appointed a new head of the CIA as well as Defense Department, General Flynn, who was part of the DIA, which exposed how the U.S. had plans to foster a Salafist principality in Syria on purpose. So they're basically creating ISIS, and they knew better. But he's stacked it up so far, and these guys have other flaws for sure, but it seems to be Syria is his main issue because everybody he's chosen so far wants to end aid to moderate rebels and support Russia in killing the terrorists. So that's going to end by next year, I think, the Syria conflict.
Yeah, without doubt, I'd say there's a huge change. I just hope Trump's what we all hope he is. It's just frightening when you see he's surrounded by so many people with such close links to Netanyahu. That's what
I would say to people. You know, they want him to drain the swamp and all that, and they go, "Well, look at this guy; he's appointed. Look at that." I'm like, "How is he supposed to appoint 4,000 clean politicians? I don't think there are 4,000 politicians."
Yeah, well,
who aren't dirty.
Give it a year. Let's wait and see what happens in a year. But we're all hoping.
Flynn was a good choice, and yeah, some of them I'm not thrilled about. But
what about Sessions? People say that they're getting Sessions because I'm not full bottle on American politics, but Sessions has been brought in for the specific role of putting Hillary into Pelican Bay for the rest of her life.
Well,
I'm worried. I want to see an end to that drug war, and people say he's a fanatic.
Well, I don't know. The drug war makes a lot of industries money, but 6 states did legalize or 3 legalized marijuana. So that's added to where it was already legal. And then 3 more legalized medical marijuana. So that's something else that happened during the election is 6 new states you can smoke marijuana. That's a little bit of the drug war. I mean, if you legalize that, that's a small portion of it, because it's really ridiculous to throw someone in jail for smoking a plant. And I don't use marijuana, but I just don't care whether someone else wants to do drugs. Like, it costs
that's more. A libertarian way, as long as you're not annoying anyone else.
It's your
particularly
body.
With alcohol, mate. I mean, I've been a registered nurse. I've worked in emergency departments and ICUs, and you just see piles of alcohol-related carnage. It's alcohol-related carnage and cigarettes, tobacco.
True.
Yeah, so don't, you know, the meth, well, the meth's entertaining. Everyone goes on about it, but that was my most entertaining night when all the meth freaks would come in. I mean, you know, yeah, it's a problem, but it's not the biggest problem. But it's not even a blip on the radar. I mean, I got to meet the top transporter for the Medellin cartel, Roger Reeves, in jail, would you believe? He was Pablo Escobar and Giorgio Ochoa's. He was the employer of Barry Seal. And I mean, he'd just say, Brendan, we were briming everyone.
He was one of the employers of Barry Seal.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was Roger who introduced Barry to Pablo and Giorgio Ochoa. It was actually Barry who got the leg into the cartel through Roger by a chance meeting on a plane. Roger says it was definitely a chance meeting, but I said, yeah, I wonder about that. But you know, as Roger says, we bribed our way out of anything, to a point. But everyone was getting bribed. I mean, Roger was paying the $50,000 for one or two landings a week at MENA via Barry Seal to the sheriff, to Bill.
In Clinton's Arkansas. And, you know, Pablo knew, as long as I, you know, rattle my fist at the communists, no matter how much of a non-threat they really were, it's like some goofy college kids or whatever, then the CIA and FBI, they'll all leave me alone. Because that's their excuse, which is, oh, well, we got to support them because they're fighting the communists. But they're really just making tons of money on narco traffic. I mean, they got their piece. Miami was built on cocaine.
Yeah, same as Sydney. Sydney was built on the heroin trade of the late 70s and early 80s. Who did that? The Jewish mafia don Abraham Saffron and Kerry Packer.
But the whole state of Maryland was boiled on the original opium wars.
Yeah, look. I mean, drugs have been there from day dot. And, but Pablo was just a front man for the American and Israeli and British intelligence system. That's his job. And that's how they funded their little covert wars and did all their stuff. And more than that, the social engineering to break up society and bring in a police state. But, you know, everyone knows about it. It's written about in books, but nothing seems to change.
Yeah, the State Department started that in Honduras, like before the CIA existed. During the beginning of all the banana wars, what I call them, with banana republics, but long story anyway. So getting back from Iran, where are you now for everybody?
I'm in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
Malaysia. Nice. They're not friends with the Friends of Israel.
Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, one of my favorite politicians. He's still alive. Yeah, he gave it to George. He was the first to ban George Soros. He said when Jewish investment bankers come calling, I get nervous, and refused him a visa and told him to get out of Malaysia in 2001, 2002. And then he had an incredible speech in 2003 where he just gave it all to Israel and said, you know, you get others to fight your wars. And he was very conciliatory. He said Jews are helping to fight this evil and so on. And he's brilliant. They had a Israel did 9/11 conference here at one stage, which may have upset some people, which led to two disappearing Malaysian airliners, maybe. I don't know.
They should have invited me to that.
Yeah, I knew nothing about it. But, it's a great country. They've balanced the old and the new, and it's thriving. It's suffering like everything else with the low oil price, but they've built a great country here.
Well, I mean, I just wish people would use Zionist over Jews, because they're definitely, just the wording, I know what they mean. I know who they're talking about, but there are a lot of people who consider themselves ethnically Jewish who don't support anything Israel does, don't even believe in the religion. So I just wish the people, when they say stuff like that, they're hurting themselves, because it seems anti-Semitic to people who aren't going to listen to the entire context and message if they say the Jews are doing X, Y, Z.
I guess my view on that is I love Paul Eisen, British Jewish activist Paul Eisen. I think sometimes we have to break out of our programming. I mean, there are times when I'll say Zionist or political Zionism, but there's also a time we've got to break through the programming. At the end of the day, I mean, if we were to count up, what are there, 20 million people who identify as Jewish, 25 million, plus all the you know, what have we got, a handful, 10, who are coming out strongly, like a Finkelstein, Max Blumenthal, ones that we don't, hear about that often, who are fighting, in Israel. I mean, everyone seems to be hedging their bets a bit. Gilad Atzmon, I love, Israel Shamir, but they don't pull their punches. Whereas,
considers himself British now. He's an ex-Jew.
Yeah. Yeah, well, look, Father Alexis Rosenthal was raised Jewish. He was the abbot of the Russian Orthodox Church in Jerusalem for 16 years. And he says it's an attitude. It's not a religion. It's not an ethnicity. It's just an attitude. And you can drop it at any time. And look, I don't want to see anyone hurt. People can live in peace, wait for their military messiah in peace or whatever. But, you can't be allowed to just sit there and say nothing.
It's interesting that people you name. Osman's been on my show a few times. Finkelstein's been on my show.
Finkelstein's my favorite. I love Finkelstein.
I like Jeff Blankford. I don't have a favorite. Blankford's great. But, I mean, there's way more than 10, but I know what you're saying. But then again,
high profile.
Right. Well, there are not that many high-profile people, period, though. Like, not everyone that's, like, opposed to something can have, like, a radio show or make a documentary or something like that. They're not that into it. But I know just from, like, when I go to Los Angeles and stuff, about a quarter of the people, there's a lot of Jews in Los Angeles, but about a quarter of the people coming to my events and stuff are Jewish and completely against Israel. So, I mean,
yeah, but what about Jewish power? What about the domination? When if you go to the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy, where it says, if you follow my laws, you will always be the head and not the tail. You will lend to many nations and borrow from none. I don't need the protocols to work it out. It's all there in the Old Testament and Babylonian.
Well, a lot of them don't believe in their religion either, but the religion is intrinsically racist. There's no, like, way around it. But then again, you could also say, technically in the Bible, you're supposed to have a monarchy because the divine right of kings in Romans 13:1 spells it out, and the authorities were appointed by God, blah, blah, blah. But I don't see any Christians saying, I want to have a king and queen. Like, a lot of stuff that are in religious texts.
Well,
that's
St. Paul. That's St. Paul.
It's a monarchy throughout the whole thing, though. They have animal sacrifice. There's all kinds of goofy stuff, but nobody would do that today. And so,
oh, wait a minute, you're talking about the Old Testament.
Old Testament has animal sacrifice. New Testament has slavery. It's got all kinds of stupid things.
Yeah, but that was just done. We've got slavery now. It's called wage slavery.
I guess. Well, there's
mortgages.
There's mortgages now. There's sweatshop labor too. I mean, that we really have, like, China is basically offshore slavery. They have suicide nets on their factories where people live. Like, they're not going to work and then going home. They live in a factory and they work. And they try and kill themselves and they have nets to try and catch them. I mean, oh, it's disgusting. We have to really renegotiate our trade deals. That's something else Trump says he's going to do. I hope that happens. But anyway, my point was, you can look at any religious text and say, well, look at this crazy thing and look at that crazy thing. But I think it's in all of them. But people dismiss that. Like, they focus on, Christians I know focus on forgiveness and, living by the good parts, the things that Jesus said and so on. That's all great. But you can't look at there and go, did you really put demons inside of pigs and have them run off a cliff? Probably not. There's some Fruit Loopy things in any religious text.
But the way where I challenge that is, I mean, if you're a man of science, they talk about parallel universes, time travel, wormholes, say they've mathematically done it, anti-gravity, traveling faster than the speed of light. So, I mean, why? It's just sorcery or stuff just seems like magic, but really it's all science.
Talking to you right now, like, there's an invisible ray going to a machine in space relays it down to Malaysia from Japan. So it's like Thor would say in the comics, is science or magic is science you don't understand. Or something like that in the Avenger comics. I don't know if you read those things, but yeah. So you can't go back to Australia then?
Well, not at this stage. Look, it would be really easy to win with support. I just need a good lawyer. They've done so many criminal, horrible things. I couldn't get a decent lawyer. Again, you have to understand Western Australia to understand the problem. People said, well, just get a lawyer. I said, they won't. They either are undermining me because I told. I mean, they are literally told. Look, I have a lot of friends. I have friends in, like, the DNA lab. I have friends in the police. I have friends in the military, special forces. I've got friends everywhere,
The Israeli ambassador came and mentioned you by name. That's got to intimidate the lawyers.
All of that stuff. My lawyer, John Bowser, at the time, he wasn't too bad. But he was really nervous about it. I was in shock, like, what? They've just legitimized me. Thank you. But I was also a bit, this is a bit full on. But I guess if you want to take something out of it, the police are so arrogant, just arrogance. They laughed at me initially. And then he goes, you know, I've been watching all your videos for 2 weeks. You have a very big hard drive, which was 500 gig at that time. It was pretty big. I said, yeah, I do, Tim. And he said, we want to talk to you about some stuff. I said, well, after you threatened me, you're going to come over. And he goes, oh, well, don't worry about that. And he came over, and they were infatuated with Kay Griggs. They couldn't believe that one. So some very good things came out of it. A lot of information they never had came to them. Look, they offered to peace feelers. Admittedly, I did not help. I have a very you threatened me, I'm afraid. I get pretty uptight. And a lot of harassment went on, and but there were attempts to defuse. There were genuine, real attempts, and partly my fault, mostly their fault, and just bad luck.
What kind of harassment? Just the
constant break-ins, cars broken into, windows smashed, slashed tires. Sorry, let down tires. Neat holes punched in car brake lines, my friend. Oil poured through a friend's car. Constant entries into the house. Things were stolen, taken, furniture moved. Classic gaslighting went on. My friend in the United States, they killed her cats, they killed her chickens, they tasered her dogs, they went into her house, threw her feminine hygiene products around, went to her work in the hospital with I Love the IDF and stood in front of her glaring at her. They hacked her work computers, they hacked our computers, they messed with our phone calls.
And no one got arrested for that?
I kept complaining and complaining and complaining. She was no one would do anything. That's why I got my back up against the police big time. I went to the Australian Federal Police Cybercrime Agent Steve Lamblin. He just went, oh, I can't wave a magic wand and fix all this. I said, you're the police. You got a gun on your thing. You got a badge. You can do something. Yeah. Oh, and I'm like, I just thought, my God.
The target's being hit over and over. You film them. You figure out who it is and you arrest them.
Well, the trouble is, it is the police. Look, you've also got the Special Air Service, Special Forces Base there, Campbell Barracks. Their personnel are going backwards and forwards to the police. They make it a sport to harass and intimidate people. I mean, I've seen them go after prisoners' families when the prisoners are trying to prove their innocence, show the police corruption. It's in the paper all the time. Nothing changes. They smash people's cars, intimidate. It's a bad state. It's real. They even beat up a university law professor, Robert Cunningham, and his girlfriend. Beat them up, threw them on the ground, cupped them and tased it for no reason. It was a huge scandal here. Broke into his office, took the hard drive with the unedited video footage of the assault from the CCTV, all reported in the paper. I don't care. They just go, literally, that's how bad the police are here.
Perth is a modern Gotham.
Man, but it's hidden beneath this veneer of respectability. They call the police commissioner Three Monkeys. He sees no evil, hears no evil, speaks no evil. And the worst case is you get sacked for getting caught. You don't get sacked for being corrupt. You get sacked for getting caught. I mean, I've got scandal after scandal. I befriended people, high-profile crims, people who put guns to people's heads, kidnap people, drug dealers, and they were telling me what the police get up to. He said, Brendan, you think we're bad? This is what the police do every day. They do this. We work for them. Most of the high-profile criminals, organized criminals, and bikie gangs, they work for the police. And if they don't, whenever you see a bikie gang getting hammered, you know they're not paying the bill or they're refusing to work for the police. Simple as that.
It's really hard to fix something like that without outside help because the
licensed drug use. Pull the money out of it. Licensed drug use. Don't legalize it. License it. Heroin, methamphetamine, cocaine, you get a license. You use it responsibly and only lock up the idiots who can't handle it. And you immediately take all the money out of it. Remove the money.
Well, I agree. Now, ending the war in Afghanistan would be step one in that. That'd be more doable.
There is that too. If they enforce the laws, maybe but I'm sorry, but the police do the drugs. Watch.
I think you're saying to enforce the laws. Your audio is getting choppy. Just a moment.
What drugs are Washington County? Must be the police upset I'm talking about them.
Yeah, they must have just tuned in.
Oh, no, they do. They've done it blatantly to me when I've got onto police corruption. Just cut it like that.
We'll just try it again. So I was saying end the war in Afghanistan, and after that, everything got chopped up. I think you were talking about licensing, not legalizing, but licensing the drug laws. Lock up those who can't do it responsibly, but you take the money out. And you had another point after that. But I couldn't hear you. Is it? Oh, I think you can you hear me at all?